Good morning. God's put together some things, kind of laid on my heart, and I just want to share them with you today. Let's open in prayer first. Father, we just want to thank you for this time. We thank you for your mercies that are new today. Just ask you to take this time, take any stray thoughts out of my mind, and allow me to speak the words that you want spoken. Pray that you will open our hearts and our ears to hear what you have to say to us. And we just thank you in Christ's name. Amen. So, I don't do this very often. I'm not checking my phone. I'm pulling up my Bible. And it'll take me just a second. So, we've been doing this 40 days through Mark. And we're going to start in Mark today. And I'll tell you exactly what I'm talking about just yet. I'm going to kind of bring that in a minute or two. So what I want to do is I want to read the first 10 verses of Mark chapter 11. And then I'm going to read the first 15 verses of Mark chapter 15. And we'll kind of pull it together. So, here we go. As Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the towns of Bethpage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead, "Go into that village over there, and as soon as you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, 'What are you doing?' just say, 'The Lord needs it and we'll return it soon.'" So the two disciples left and found the colt standing in the street tied outside the front door. As they were untying it, some bystanders demanded, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They said what Jesus told them to say, and they were permitted to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it, and he sat on it. Many in the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of them, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut into fields. Jesus was the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, "Praise God! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessings on the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Praise God in the highest heaven. Praise God in highest heaven." So everybody's cheering for him. Everybody's happy. Everybody's excited. And he can do no wrong. So now we go to chapter 15 of Mark. Very early in the morning, the leading priest, the elders, and the teachers of religious law, the entire high council, met to discuss the next step. They bound Jesus, led him away, and took him to Pilate, the Roman governor. Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus replied, "You have said it." Then the leading priest kept accusing him of many crimes. And Pilate asked, "Aren't you going to answer them? What about all these charges that they're bringing against you?" But Jesus said nothing to Pilate, much to Pilate's surprise. Now it was the governor's custom each year during the Passover celebration to release one prisoner, anyone the people requested. One of the prisoners at that time was Barabbas, a revolutionary who had committed murder in an uprising. The crowd went to Pilate and asked him to release a prisoner as usual. "Would you like me to release to you this king of the Jews?" Pilate asked, for he realized by now that the leading priest had arrested Jesus out of envy. But at this point, the leading priest stirred the crowd up to demand the release of Barabbas instead of Jesus. Pilate asked them, Then what should I do with the man you call the King of the Jews? And they shouted back, crucify him. Why? Pilate demanded. What crime has he committed? But the mob roared even louder, crucify him. So to pacify the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He ordered Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip, then turned him over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified. So the crowd went from cheering, praise, honor, just a couple days before, and now they want to kill him. They want to crucify him. So the crowd is kind of flipped. Not kind of flipped, the crowd flipped. Kind of like today, but we won't get into that. So Barabbas is released, and Jesus goes to the cross. You don't hear much about Barabbas. We know he was a murderer. We know he was a revolutionary. And about now you're wondering, where am I going with this? So, David, if you would show that clip, please.
We see
you guys in the parking lot. I'm sorry you can't see it.
Everything seems to kind of be hand in hand. And then there's this one character that seems to interrupt the narrative. His name's Barabbas. We don't even know much about him except that he's a murderer, a leader of an insurrection, a rebel. And why he's even mentioned, sometimes I'm not so sure. It's like, what? This is about Jesus going to the cross. So in this moment, Pilate thinks, I hold the destinies of these two men in my hand. I know the Jews have a tradition that on a holy day, I will release one of the prisoners on death row. Pilate stands on this audacious stage, who now presents Jesus, Son of the Living God, versus Barabbas, the thug and rebel. He says, all right, who do you want? This is blasphemy. This has gone too far. Comparison. This is a rightful prisoner, a man who should be on death row. He's a rebel against Rome. He leads a rebellion. He murders people. He's a bad man. He's a thug and he's a crook. He deserves the chains and he deserves the crucifixion. Jesus, what has he done but heal, restore, deliver, set free, open blind eyes, open deaf ears, heal the lame and the leper. What has Jesus done? Who do you want? We want Barabbas. Yeah. Give us Barabbas. They give us Barabbas. The Roman soldiers come up and they put the key in and they unlock Barabbas from his chains and shackles. And he walks down the platform, welcomed by all of his thug friends. Yeah, the people love me. Yeah, that's right. I don't even know who this Jesus guy is, but all I know is my people love me. There seems to be no conscience of Barabbas. There's no record of him turning to Jesus and saying, I owe you everything now, for you have set me free. No, I don't see any of that in Barabbas. God knew that. Jesus stood there, silent, for he knew the will of the Father. He said, it's fine, Father. Let him have Barabbas. For Jesus knew that the Father would have to treat Jesus like Barabbas so he could treat Barabbas like Jesus. Barabbas thought it was the people that set him free. No. It was the love. Son for Barabbas. even the one he knew, would walk away from Jesus and his free gift and never come back. He loves them. And the nerve, the gall, the audacity of believers to think, I got saved by grace, but now that I'm in this deep, dark place of bondage, I'm going to work hard to get myself out. What? That's the opposite of the gospel. Are you bound? Are you held under the power of this temptation, this sin? Feel like it's controlling you? What are you going to do? I'm going to shake myself free. Stop it! No, you won't. You're no match for the powers of hell. Statistic. There's no answer within yourself. Your own marriage, your own goodness, your own discipline, your own devotion will not save your marriage and will not save your kids. There's only one. And he's the one that took your place. He's the one that stood silently on the platform with Pilate and said, yes, let him have Barabbas. Take me. How many times have I stood on that platform with Pilate and Jesus? And they start to take my chains off. And I say, no, no, I deserve this. I deserve the guilt. I deserve the shame. I deserve the consequence. I deserve it. Jesus seems to look at me and say, no, son. Let me have it. Let me have your sin. Let me have your pain. No, God, I did it to myself. I deserve it. My marriage won't make it. This is what I deserve. I deserve divorce. I deserve poverty. I deserve sickness. I deserve it all. No! God, I'm so ashamed. Give me your shame. But God, what if I do it again? I'll still be. God, I don't want to hurt you. I love you. I don't want to do this anymore. Give me your sin, son. This is all we got. It's all I got. It's all you got. We can play games. We can play church games. We can pretend like some people are better than others and that's why they're blessed. Or we can all come to the honest conclusion that it's God. And it's God alone. The greatest challenge is not your discipline, your devotion, your focus. Your greatest challenge is believing the gospel. Could it be that there's a God with a love so scandalous, so wide, so deep, so vast, so high, so expansive, so welcoming, so inclusive? Let me have your sin, son. Okay. And I give him my sin. Stand in this empty space of forgiveness and acceptance while Jesus walks off to the cross that I deserve. I see him walking to the post to be whipped. As I stand a free man, all the attention is turned now. And I feel the love of God saying, go, son, live your life. I'll pay the price. Where did we get off thinking that we were going to free? It's still Jesus. It'll always be Jesus. It'll never stop being the power of Jesus. If his blood is sufficient for your salvation, his blood is sufficient to sustain you through every challenge and every sin and every temptation. Jesus is enough.
I don't know if it touched you guys like it touched me, but it touched me. So, who's the Barabbas in your life? Is it you or somebody else? Who's the Barabbas in my life? And what are we going to do about it? Who do we give it to? All right, I've kind of gotten lost here. All right, so that's kind of why I came to Barabbas. I've got some other verses now to kind of show God's love and how he loves each one of us. I just had to find them. One everybody knows is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Another one is Romans 5:8. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. First John 4, 9, and 10. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we love God. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Romans 8:38-39. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God. That is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. I've got one more for you. Luke 6:32. If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. And Barabbas loved his thug friends. They loved him. But what he didn't know and didn't understand was that God loved him also. So, David, I'm back to you now. So I guess I'm trying to share with you guys and ladies that God loves us. He loves us with a never-ending love. He cares for us. He wants us to lean on Him. 1 John 4:18. Such love has no fear. Because perfect fear expels all. I'm sorry. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. I struggle all the time. I'm not perfect. Everybody knows that. But He loves me. He accepts me. He wants me to give Him my life, not just my mistakes, not just my sin. He wants me to give Him everything. I can't say I've gotten there yet. But I basically just want to show you that God cares for us. He loves us. As my wife reminded me the other day, there's absolutely nothing that we can do to make God love us anymore. And there is absolutely nothing we can do to make God love us any less than He does already. So that's kind of what God showed me to share. One last song.
Upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord
So the message today is God loves you. And that's about all I got. So let's close in prayer, please. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your son. We pray that we can apply your love in our lives as you want us to. So we just turn to you. We just thank you for your grace and mercy and your love. In Christ's name, amen.